Hey everybody, welcome to episode one of my new podcast, Ex-Psychic Saved. This is really exciting. I want to give a big shout out to Edify Podcast. Thank you so much, Edify, for partnering up with me. And for those of you who don't know me, my name is Jen Nisa Hofacker, and I was an occultist. I was a psychic medium for many years, and I used many other tools of divination. I led a divination class. I was all in. And in this episode, episode one, I'm going to share my testimony with you how Jesus Christ set me free out of the bondage of sin, and particularly out of the darkness of the demonic. I pray that you would tune in and listen to these episodes that I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be exposing New Age deception, divination tools, making you aware of how it's affecting our culture. Nothing new under the sun, but the enemy is still leading people away from God on a daily basis. So stay tuned for those episodes. I'm going to have some great guests on. But like I said in this episode, I would like to share my testimony with you, and I pray it gives you hope. If you're somebody out there that has been wrapped up in the New Age, you're addicted to it, or you know somebody that is, please have hope. Because if God could save me, trust me, okay? So let me just share with you. It started for me when I was 12 years old, and I really believe that door opened because of my family, my home life. And that's why it's so important, parents, to be so careful in your home that you wouldn't open the door to demons in your home. My mom was raised Catholic, culturally Catholic, and her aunt was a psychic medium, a self-professing healer, kind of similar to today's, you know, Reiki. And she believed in ETs, aliens, so on and so forth. And so in my home, it was really beyond acceptable. It was comfortable to talk about ghosts, to talk about the paranormal activity. And trust me, there was a lot of that going on in my home. I didn't know Jesus. I knew the Jesus being taught to me in catechism and, you know, religion, religious education. And I had no relationship with him. I had no faith. So I didn't really know him. I knew of him. So when I was 12, I started having these premonitions. And so these were these visions, that dreams that came true. And they weren't very profound, but very odd. And of course, I was a kid. I had no idea what to make of it. When I was 13, that's when I believe I gave full permission to the evil one. I really walked through the demonic door because I had my first tarot card reading at the age of 13. My mom was a hairdresser, and a gal that she knew at the beauty supply read cards. And she said, hey, you know, I do these parties and I'll come to your salon and every person will pay for their reading, like their 15-minute reading. And my mom had her come. My mom worked from home, and she let my sister and I have the reading. And this is not to throw mom under the bus at all. Mom was deceived. So I had my first tarot card reading, and I found it really interesting. I was like, how does this woman know what's going on in my life? How do these cards know? Like, what is this? And that was me walking through the door, because after I had that reading and I was so intrigued by it, I wanted more. So I started seeking out psychic readers. My sister and I ended up getting our own decks of tarot cards. I was about 15, 16. And at the same time, I started to know more about people without them telling me. You know, kind of like these weird incidents would happen, and I kind of knew what somebody was going to say and what was going on in somebody's life. It's really super weird. And I just went down the rabbit hole of clairvoyance, tarot card readers, psychic advisors, numerology, astrology. And I would keep going and getting these charts done. Basically, what happened was anything I ever wanted to know, anything that I wanted comfort for, I would go to psychics rather than God. I didn't know God. And it's interesting looking back because, of course, there's two sources of supernatural power, God or the devil. And I went to the demonic for things that he can't provide or his servants, but I was deceived. So I just kept going and going and going. And the more I went down this road and doing readings, the more information would come to me and the more things I would start seeing and hearing. I started to see familiar spirits or demons that were masquerading as people, as something good, and sometimes not so good. I saw a lot of scary things too. I saw demonic animals. I saw shadow figures. I saw demons that would just be standing there. So sometimes I was really afraid, actually. I went on in my life and I actually became an esthetician. And so if you don't know what that is, that's somebody who does facials and skincare and makeup, so on and so forth. So I loved doing facials for people. And I would have the client on the table and I would have like Enya playing in the background. My candles were lit, very ritualistic, you know, thinking back on it. And I started to receive information about the people on my table. And I would ask them at the end of the facial, hey, listen, you know, I get psychic information about people and I receive some information about you. Is it okay to share it with you? And they were always like, oh yeah, you know, really excited. It just goes to show you that passion, that desire for the supernatural, for like these paranormal experiences and wanting to know things. Anyway, I digress. So I was receiving a lot of information and I'm sure doing those rituals and going into that trance-like state, that meditative state. At the same time, I was practicing yoga and yoga was also, and we're going to get into that. Yoga is a whole episode on its own, trust me. But the meditation involved, the chakras and all of that. And I would do these practices and it would open me up further to information. And it came to a point where I was being touched when I was on the treadmill by these demons. I got thrown off the chair. I lived with my mom and dad. I was a single mom at this point, and we had what we called the computer room. And I was sitting on the chair at the computer, and next thing I know, thrown off the chair. My dad heard me yell, and he's like, "What's going on?" I said, "You are not going to believe it." And I told him, and he just looked at me. And my dad was, I guess, more skeptical of the New Age and psychics, whereas my mom was like full in. But then, and I don't mean to fast forward, when my dad started to see my clients and the readings that I did, I even read my own family. Information that came through about them that I never could have known. He was completely a believer, quote unquote. So in any event, these things were happening to me. And then I received information about a deceased person that was connected to my daughter's father. We weren't together anymore. And so he was dating this girl and I didn't know her. And I received information about some young man who had died and he was connected to her. I knew he was connected to her. That's what I was told. So I was able to tell him what happened when he came to visit our daughter, and he went back and told her. I know this is like a long story, but she validated it, said, yeah, that's my brother's friend. That's how he died. And so he said, well, what's his name? You know, I don't know if he was trying to do a parlor trick with me or whatever. I mean, because I'm as stunned by anybody else by all of this, wondering what on earth is going on. And if you've had any paranormal experiences, I'm sure you were in shock as well. And he asked me the name of the boy. And it was right away, instantaneously put, like just pops in. That's how information would come to me, like just pop right in, almost in your voice, like you're thinking, but it's not your thought. It just pops in. And I said, Michael. And he said, oh my goodness, Jen, that's his name. So what do I do? Of course, I go to the psychic medium, my psychic medium that I would always go to. And I went there to see what was going on, what was happening. And it's interesting that I went to the problem from my solution. And of course, what did she tell me? I was a psychic medium and I had a gift, quote unquote, air quotes there. And I had a gift from God and I was to use it to help people. And you know, guys, I was a very sensitive girl, very compassionate, not to say I'm not now, because I am. I always wanted to help people. And I really believe that there's another part of psychic communication that goes back to pride, identity, value. It's like the devil is giving you something to make you seem extra special, powerful. People are coming to you. People are coming to you and not even to God. And I always struggled with, you know, quote unquote, self-esteem, self-worth issues there. So it's really not a surprise through my vulnerability that the enemy attacked me this way. But hey, here I was with a gift, wanting to help people. So the psychic medium refers me to a woman here on Long Island who had classes, divination groups. And the idea was to call her up. She said, call her up. I need to go in there so that she could help me. And these groups can help me to understand the gift I have so that I can use it to help others. Call her up, go into this group, quickly make my way into the VIP of the group. And what went on in this class, guys, which is not uncommon in these divination classes that are being offered at healing centers, spiritual centers, and what have you. This was in this woman's house, and she believed that she was a Catholic, maybe a cultural Catholic as well, and a Reiki master. She called herself a healer. She would go to hospitals and try to heal people. In this class, she would have all of us who were in the class, and we were all different. You know, I had this psychic mediumship. There were people with the crystal readings, aura readings, tarot card readings, just a big new age group. And that's where I found out about smudging with white sage. She would burn the white sage and smudge it. It's a cultural practice that's intended to clear your space of negative entities, of demons. Interesting how you know there is something that you need to be protected from, right? And she did that in the room, and she would do that around each one of us individually as well, leading us to believe that we could actually be protected. And that's, you know, wow, how interesting. We can actually be protected. I guess demons are afraid of sage. Okay, I don't think so, but I digress. She taught us to imagine white light around ourselves as a false tool of protection. She even said, and this is the one that really blows my mind, she even said the Lord's Prayer. She had us all standing up holding hands, and she would say the Lord's Prayer. You may know it as the Our Father. Thinking that that was going to protect us before directly rejecting God's word and practicing divination. She led us through guided meditation, which puts you in a trance-like state, which will open you up to information, to demons, really, to spiritual communication. We'll get into that in an episode too. That's another whole episode in and of itself. So all of these things were in place. And with that, I was opened up week after week after week. The readings were flowing. I was reading people in the room. I started reading their friends. I started reading their families. And I came out of that, you know, business cards in hand, because of course she said, you know, there has to be an exchange of energy. You don't have to charge a lot of money, but just a little something that it's an exchange of energy, or there's no balance in the supernatural realm. And I thought I was the good guy because I didn't charge as much as, you know, the other Long Island mediums. And I really cried with these people. I really loved these people, my clients, My whole business was word of mouth. I didn't have a website. I stink with technology. I don't even know if Facebook was a thing yet, but I didn't have that yet. I didn't have an Instagram. All word of mouth. I had the name and the phone number of the client, and the person would come to my house, sit before me or at a coffee shop or wherever we would go, or I would go to their house. And I had my notebook and pen because automatic writing was a big part of my readings, which is, you know, when you're in a trance-like state and then, or a meditative state, and then you're channeling and the demons will actually move through the pen and paper and you'll get those ideas. And man, it's channeling on a piece of paper, and it was a part of my readings. And I just sat and started talking. I just started channeling. I did my little ritual. So there was definitely a level of witchcraft there because I would do the smudging. I would light the candle. And I would just tell these people things about their life, things about their ancestors. And I will, in a whole episode, my friends, explain to you why that happens, where the info is coming from, why it's accurate, and how they make predictions. And I loved what I did. I absolutely loved what I was doing. I even got to the point where I led my own divination group. I was teaching people the law of attraction, full in. You know, I had the oak tag, the pens and the magazines, the glue sticks to do vision boards. I did past life regression. I did past life automatic writings. I did chakra balancing with a pendulum. I psychically counseled people, even teenagers. Moms would come and bring their kids. Oh, I have so much I could tell. So, you know, being saved now, of course, so much regret being a part of the enemy's plan to deceive others and, of course, my own deception. And things were in my life not going so hot. Gotta tell you, don't go by what you see on TV, my friends. You see the mediums and they're bopping around on TV and they're traveling and they have money. And you think all this stuff is great and things are going great in their life, but you don't go home with them. And when you're dealing with demons, at some point or the other, there's going to be massive destruction. I mean, I was demonically oppressed to the nines. I mean, I was afraid to take a shower. I was afraid to be alone. I felt presences with me all of the time. So there was there's huge consequences. It's demonic oppression. It felt good when it was familiar spirits during readings, people's loved ones, which of course are demons masquerading as your loved ones. And when you had this feeling you were helping people, but the rest of the time, there was a lot of fear, anxiety, and I was raising my daughter this way, my baby, in a house of demons. And like I said, I just loved what I was doing. I loved teaching it. I loved the groups. I loved my clients. And when I was 36 years old, at the end of my 36th year, I came to a moment, a second, really. You want to talk about the end of yourself, okay? Like an end of yourself second. The oppression is so heavy. A second where I had to cry out for help. It was so heavy on me. And I cried out to Jesus Christ. And what gets me about this is that I didn't know him. I knew the New Age Jesus, but not the real Jesus. You know, the Jesus of love and light. You know, the peacemaker, he's wonderful, the positive vibes, Jesus. That's not the real Jesus. I didn't know him. I didn't care about the Bible. I had a Bible in my house all my life. I didn't care. I didn't want to read it. I didn't debunk it. I just had nothing to do with it. That's how the enemy kept me away from the Word of God. But in the second, I cry out to Christ. But I didn't understand it because he showed up. Let me tell you something. My soul, my spirit knew to cry out to the only one who could rescue me, the only one who could deliver me. And he showed up. And after that, looking back, I know the Holy Spirit was nudging my heart because I didn't want to be a psychic anymore. But I had no idea what all of this meant. So I was spiritually vulnerable. Well, who, Jesus? And, you know, and why don't I want to be a psychic anymore? What's wrong with that? And I went through this weird period of time that lasted almost, you know, the better part of a year. So the end of age 36 to almost the end of age 37. But God didn't quit on me. I did stop doing my readings for a while, but then I went back. And everything changed when I went back to doing them. I was giving a different introduction, telling people I wasn't God. Funny how God was really coming into this introduction. So everything had changed for me. And one night, I was having my friend Beth over for dinner. And I had met her in the original divination class I told you about. And we had become very good friends. I read her family. We were in the community together. And she was coming over for dinner. And she comes over and she starts telling my husband and I about Jesus Christ. She was saved. And she comes over and she's telling us about Jesus and about this church she was going to. And she invited us. And I'm like, no, I'm good. I mean, what? But my husband said yes. He said he would like to go with her. And he did. He went to that church with her that Sunday. He came home. He loved it. Now, he was raised by Christian people, okay? He was as much of a heathen as I was, okay? Didn't walk with Christ, didn't follow Christ, didn't care about reading the Bible, didn't go to church, nothing. Just because Christians raise you doesn't make you a Christian, by the way, okay? And hearing about Jesus doesn't mean you follow him and doesn't mean that you walk with him. So he loved the church. He's raving about it and really wanted me to go. Do you know, I said no for 4 whole weeks. And the 4th week, the Holy Spirit nudged my heart. And that day I woke up and I said, I want to go to that church with you today. I don't know why. And so I did. And it was so different for me because I was used to Catholic church. So I was used to mass, you know, what it looked like, what they did there. So this was a non-denominational Christian church, and it was really overwhelming. It was beautiful. It was really overwhelming. And people had their arms up in worship, and I'm like, what are these people doing? So weird, but it's cool. You know, I was like captivated by it. And we were singing. So they have the lyrics on the screen, and we were singing. And one of the lyrics was, Jesus saved me. And I sang that lyric and I flashed back in a second to the moment I cried out to Jesus months prior. And that was my confirmation that that was him, that he saved me. That was Jesus who showed up. He is real. He is the Son of God. He saved my life physically and eternally, and I was filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with joy, crying, and, you know, just so many emotions. So we, you know, finished the sermon and the whole thing, and we go home, and my husband and I part ways. I think he went to the store. I go home, and the first thing I did was Google search, what does the Bible say about psychic mediums? See, I was set free. I was saved. The Holy Spirit came to live within my heart. And that was the first thing he did, point me to the Word of God. I wasn't contemplating it. It was like a 15-minute drive home. And it was just the first thing I did when I got there. And he pointed me to the Word of God. And that's who he is. That's what he does. And when I saw those verses, man, I was blown away. Deuteronomy 18, 10 to 12, specifically using the word medium. Do not consult or practice divination, medium, interpret omens, fortune telling, necromancy. It was like God was calling me out right then and there, and he was. So I called my husband and I said, I'm sorry, but I have to quit my job. And he said, don't be hasty, Jen. Let's make an appointment with that pastor. And we did. And we did. But I knew in my heart, one of the verses I read also was, pick up your cross and follow me. And I knew that Jesus Christ set me free, and whatever he said was what I was going to do. And he is a God of order. So it makes perfect sense to me, looking back, that the first order of business he had in my life was to get me away from divination. That was the first thing I had to do, because you cannot drink from the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot serve two masters. And I made my choice. And that's a big thing. Psychic mediumship is not a gift from God. You see, Jesus saved me out of it. It's a choice as to who you're going to serve. Anyway, that was 9 years ago. And I've been through quite the trials, the ups and the downs. My life has drastically changed. My heart has changed for the Lord. It's amazing not being in the hamster wheel of the new age. The new age is that you're always seeking. You're always asking. You're always looking for peace, for healing, for hope, for joy, for answers. But you're seeking in the wrong place. And you see, demons can't fulfill those needs. They can give you some things that you want for a little while, but they can't fulfill those needs. Only God can. I'm happy to report that even people in my family, my mom and my dad, my sister, dumped the tarot cards, dumped the readings, and my daughter has been saved. And I'll get into all of that. It's really cool. Anyway, I hope my testimony gives you hope. Now the Lord is using my past for his kingdom, for his glory. There's no condemnation in Christ. Of course, I regret the way I lived, but I was unsaved. And Jesus has forgiven me. And now, like I said, he uses me, and he uses the things that I've done for harm for his good now. I make it my business to expose the new age on TikTok, on Instagram, on YouTube. I published my first book 2 years ago, From Psychic to Saved. It's my testimony. And my new book is Out of the New Age and Into the Truth. Both I will list in the notes. And if you are interested to read more about divination, about my testimony, and about what these practices are and where they're coming from, check them out. God bless you guys, and thank you for listening. I look forward to many more episodes where I, like I said, will be revealing the truth about things like manifesting, the tarot cards, psychic mediumship, astrology, you name it, we're going to talk about it. God bless you for now.